If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday, and every Saturday seems about the same time. In the studio, well within striking distance. They don't give me right answers. I have my co-host, the greatest fisherman to ever walk the face of the earth, Mark Tobin, and Joe Falco.
Yeah, from Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. Joe, thank you for coming in the studio with us.
Glad to be here.
I ran in, and I was telling you off the air, I ran into the guy. I think he must have been going to your tournament or going somewhere to fish, but he had a Jackson kayak. I assume he bought it from you. I don't know if he did. He was listening to the show and all
this
stuff.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. What the heck? I don't think I've ever been around anybody any giddier to own a boat.
I tell you what, it's just a whole different world, Fred. I hope you can come out to one of our tournaments. It's crazy. These guys are excited, and they're great conservationists. That's what I like about them. I mean, they are great.
Yeah.
They pick up after themselves. They just no effect on the fish when they fish because it's a catch and release immediately after you photograph them. Everything about it I like.
Yeah. Well, boy, I tell you what. And here was the rub. And I saw this guy, and I assume he bought it from me. They make a camouflage model that you guys sell.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He was on Bob Brown duck hunting. And he shot his limit because, one, you can hide the darn thing. You know the deal. But the other thing, and he's a big old boy. I couldn't believe the stability of a Jackson kayak.
Yeah, I don't know if you've figured it out yet, but it's just like in boats. There's all these different brands. And Jackson is really one of the leaders, and I'm happy to have them. There are a few other brands, but Jackson's the one. Those guys they're going after the fishing. Eric Jackson, I don't know if you heard this or not, but it's a great story. Eric Jackson, which is, in theory, the founder of the company,
mm-hmm.
He got into fishing big time, and that's why he started designing all these kayaks to fish out of. And he's done a remarkable job. He really has. Stable. He came out with not the first pedal drive, but probably the best pedal drive, so the guys don't have to, carry a – well, you still have to carry a paddle, but – basically, you can just hold yourself in position to catch them. Anyway, he became a great fisherman, and he decided, well, I'm good enough. I'm going to join the FLW. So he goes out and buys himself. You heard this story?
No, huh?
So he goes out and buys himself a $100,000 Ranger. And, of course, he sponsors himself, but I'm sure he's got other sponsors.
Sure.
You know, he's in the business. And the first tournament, he's so proud of this rig. Brand new truck, brand new rig.
Yeah.
Back the whole thing. No, wait, time out. It wasn't a truck. It makes the story better. It was his camper. It was a $300,000 camper, I think, is what I heard. Backed the whole thing into the lake.
What?
Completely submerged it all on the tournament first day.
Whoa.
That's a bad start.
That's a real bad start. And I think when he got out, his interview said, should have stuck with kayaks.
Wow. How do you do that? I'd like to have seen that.
It's on the internet.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. You can look it up. Just I imagine you just Google like everything else.
Yeah.
Crazy man puts boat and RV in the water.
Unbelievable. Mark, have you heard a fishing report? Anybody below the dam at Truman?
Still catching fish below the dam.
Water?
Well, off and on. Yesterday they did not run any. And now the lake is 20 foot high.
Oh,
it's and still coming up. It's a mess. And a lot of the local lakes, Kansas and Missouri, are just a mess. Tuttle Creek on the Kansas side, 40 feet high. That's unbelievable. 40 feet. So nobody's fishing there.
Wow.
Milford, I think, is 5 or 6 foot high. Clinton, Perry, 9 feet high. The only good news is that if you're bank fishing or fishing from a kayak, the fishing is good right now on the banks.
Yeah.
And I think from what I heard, the people fishing from the bank are catching more from people out in the boat. The crappie moved in shallow last week on the Kansas side.
Way past due on that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, here it is. I'm getting toward the middle of May, and they're, you know, just now starting to move up. But the high water is going to be a challenge. Now, the one thing to maybe consider if you're wanting to go fishing this weekend, and I'm telling you, this is perfect conditions for a kayak. These city and county lakes, they're not flood control lakes, so they can't fluctuate very much, maybe a foot, 2 foot at the most.
Sure.
But a lot of them don't even fluctuate that much. And even with all this rain, they're stable. And that's going to be the best bet right now, is fishing these city and county lakes. And a lot of those, you can't put a motorized boat on there. So that's the perfect place to get some of these fishing kayaks out.
Exactly. You know, and you know, with that kayak, and we keep coming back to it, Joe, because you're here, but I can get you back into places that might not get a bass boat back in.
Right, absolutely.
Kayak. I can throw at that stump that no one has thrown at, you know, and that fish is staged on the edge of that stump. You know, that's what this is all about.
Well, and right now there's so much flooded lake out there and places that you normally couldn't get to by a boat, and you still can't in some of these flooded areas.
Yeah.
What a perfect way to ambush some of these fish with a kayak.
I can tell you about a pretty good catfish story I heard last weekend. My farmer buddy that I leased my duck property from, he was just slaying catfish. I said, well, where were you catching them? And he said, oh, well, I just tied up off my tractor in my cornfield.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a dream similar to that.
I've got 50, 60 dead carp by my duck blind.
Really?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they couldn't get back out, you know, but now the water's coming back in, so they're dead. But it's just, I had fish at my cabin.
Okay. Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
And how far away is the river from your
miles,
cabin?
Miles.
Miles and miles.
But I had 7 foot of water in the cabin. I had fish running in one door and out the other door.
Oh, my God. I put a net up.
Yeah. Most of them were the jumping carp, you know, them Asian carp on the deal. But there was a lot of big carp. But when the water started back down, they got one tube to go back out, you know, and they were just there. They were just caught.
That is bizarre.
Now, the year before this, when we pumped out the blind for duck season, or in 2011, excuse me, 2011 when we pumped out the blind, and I've told this story, and I've told you about it. I got down to the bottom of 6 inches, 4 inches of water left in the bottom of the pit, you know. It was full of little bluegill. I had bass. I had crop. Now, they're only about an inch long.
Wow.
Now, where in the world did they come from, and how did they get in that duck blind?
No kidding. That's just – I am freaking out because I've seen your blind, and I know there's not water anywhere near you.
Miles away in the deal.
Wow, that is just crazy.
Yeah, and it was some bluff to bluff, you know, on the darn thing. You know, and – here's something that I'm going to tell the story because it was told to me, and I think it's semi-accurate. I think it's very accurate. Fort Peck in Montana, I think, is 7-8 foot over power pool. And people go, where in the world is that? That's the first dam on the Missouri River system.
Hmm.
It is suspect. And to say then the guy... Shank, I think his name is Randolph Shank, and I'm probably butchering his first name. But if you Google this, this is really worth reading. When they built that dam, 136 men were killed building that dam.
No way.
Because it's built on shale rock, and when they were down there digging and putting in the dam, the thing would collapse in on them and kill them. Six of them were permanently entombed in that dam. This Fort Peck is in a bad, bad position, and so the interview states is, when will it break? So everybody asks the question, when Fort Peck going to break?
Is this a big lake?
This 143 mile long.
Oh, wow. Yeah, big lake.
Yeah, it's a big lake in Montana. First one. And he said 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years. I don't know. He said it will break. He said when that happens, and this is be Googled. This is an article that was in the St. Louis Globe-Dispatch. So, you know, read it and take it for what it's worth. But he said, if that dam breaks, it'll kill people in St. Louis.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty scary.
Oh, he said it'll be like 10 hydrogen bombs go off.
Wow.
And I mean, it'll split this country in two.
Oh, my gosh.
You won't have natural gas. You won't have electricity. You won't have an interstate. You won't have a railroad. You know, it would just be devastating.
Well, I'd say they need to get up there and repair that dam.
Well, they requested $275 million to fix it, and they got $25 million. That's
well, that
what it was in
nothing.
The article. So it wasn't enough on a deal. And it's built in the wrong spot. That's what it all, the whole gist of the story is. This guy here is supposed to be the leading hydrologist for the Western Hemisphere or something. You know, he's a big time credentials. But one of these days, you're going to turn on the lights and there ain't going to be any, you know, if that thing goes. And I don't understand why everybody is throwing their hands up and discuss. Let's say he's wrong, but it's still too spooky to take the gamble.
You can't take a chance. Not
can't
that
take
kind
the
of chance.
On the deal.
Get the money, get it fixed.
And Google this article, because it's in the St. Louis. It's back, I think, 2011 when the article was written, maybe 2012. But the guy, it's just a frightening, frightening experience. And have you ever been to those guys, some Gavin's Point and all those dams? And
no.
They're running 55,000 cubic feet a second.
Have you ever been down to Truman when they're running that
oh,
much water?
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's scary.
There's so much power.
How
I mean, it
Table
shakes
Rock?
The earth.
Table
yeah.
Rock. How about the Lake of the Ozarks Dam? What's that been there since, what, 38? 30, when was
yeah,
it built? I don't remember when it was.
Pretty primitive equipment back then. You know?
that's what's wrong with this one up at Fort Peck. It was built 84 years ago.
Wow.
84 years ago with basically no maintenance on it. And you would think your senator or congressman or the Corps or something would be screaming, jumping up and down. How did we get here from kayaks?
Well, I tell you what, if that happens, I don't think a kayak's
going yeah,
no, no, no.
Hey, we got to take a little bit of a break. We're brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales, my very, very, very dear friend, Terry Lee. If you've not been there, he has his trailers. You guys that need a trailer for your 18-wheeler, maybe you need one to haul grain, they are on sale, and he doesn't do that usually. So he is located at 1815 Southern Road. That's just right across from Worlds of Fun up here off 435. If you've got a bimp on your trailer, they will straighten it out and fix it the way it's supposed to be. If you have leaf springs that are broke, they will fix them and put them back the way they should be. If you have taillights that are not working exactly right, they will completely redo your wiring and wiring harness. There is no finer people. I have 10 service bays. That's correct, what I said. 10 service bays. They will get you in. They will get you out. They understand that time is money. They're just about as fine of people that I've ever talked to in my entire life. Only been around him a little bit, but I consider him one of my best friends. I don't have very many friends. What can you blame them? But anyway, Highway Trailer Sales, again, they are located at 1850 Southern Road, just west of Worlds of Fun. Go up there and see him. If nothing else, just go have a cup of coffee with him. He's just a great guy to hang out with. So, what the hey. Highway Trailer Sales, again, at 1850 Southern Road, here across from World's Fund, just off 435. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just happen to join us, this is the Midwest Outdoors, and I have some of my favorite people in the studio. My co-host, the greatest fisherman to ever walk the face of the earth, Mark Tobin, his long flowing robe walking on top of the water, and Joe Falco, one of my favorite humans to be around. We're talking about Jackson Coyote, but before we do that, I got to tell you about a sponsor that's been with us since the beginning, basically. King City Lumber Company up in King City, Missouri, kingcitylumber.com. Go to their website. Be like I did the first time. I thought, well, I'm going to kind of peruse that a little bit. And I was on there about 30 minutes. I got this fetish about building a building. I don't know what it is. I just think it's the coolest thing you can do in life. And you get to looking at these and the designs and the way they build them. They build houses out of the what I call sheet metal type houses, double car garages. And if, well, I don't know why, but if you don't see what you like on there, these guys are such good humans that they will help you design something. They're first-rate carpenters, first-rate lumber, first-rate products. I had a lady that's a friend of my sister said, there's only one person to build your new garage, and that's King City Lumber. You know Kelly that comes and hunts with, or comes and be a guest from time to time, they built his garage up there at his farm. He just says nothing but great things. I've been around some of those buildings. They're 20 years old. They look just like the day they built them. So King City Lumber, Marty and Monty Tunks, some of the nicest people you'll ever do business with. KingCityLumber.com if you're going to repair your flood damage. That's a deal. Let's go through Jackson Kayak a little bit money-wise.
Okay.
Where can I – what's the cheapest place I can – how much – cheap. What can I do?
Okay, well, Jackson was always known for the most expensive, but last year they built, and actually it just came out in January, they built a new unit to compete with some of the other brands, the less expensive brands, and it's called the Bite, B-I-T-E, Bite. And I mean to tell you, it's going to take a bite out of the market. It comes in at $799, which is unusual for Jackson. I mean, they don't do anything that inexpensive. And it is as stable or more stable.
Why?
Because they ended up building the width on the thing, and they ended up getting the exact draft. And there's also something in kayaking that I don't really truly understand. But the way the hulls are built, I don't want to call them tri-hulls, but depending on how far down you put your center, you know, beam there, basically in the outer beams, they just stabilize better. And it's funny, now that I'm in the business, and I don't understand it a lot, Fred, you know, I don't want to say I'm an expert, but I get the answers because I know I've got this big team already built up that works with me. So the way I understand it, there are, and that's why we do, by the way, let me interrupt myself and say, that's why anything we sell, Jackson sells, you can come pick up at my store, take it out, see if it's the right one for you and bring it back.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, or I have a trailer. So sometimes if you're torn between two, then I just put two on that trailer. Now, you got to have a truck or, you know, something with a ball on it. But I'll put two on that trailer. You can take two out and test them out. And here's the reason. Every kayak is built a little bit different. They're all a little bit different. So some what they call track straighter. Some are faster. Some hold into the wind better. And, you know, just basically, you can go anywhere you want. Well, with this Bite, and it's not super long, it's an 11-foot, 6-inch kayak instead of a 13-foot kayak. So it's easier to maintain, easier to put in the back of a truck. But basically, it's for $799, you got to try it, Mark.
And why did you pick Jackson as the brand that you wanted to sell?
Okay, so Jackson, basically when I got in the business, and Mark, you may remember this, but there was a gentleman back years ago out in Peculiar, and he called himself,
Peculiar name?
Yeah, Peculiar name. Yeah, and he was controlling the kayak business and all that business for a while. Casey Peddler was his name, and he was an attorney that got into this, and when he passed away, I thought, well, we need a good kayak store here, but I wasn't able to do it at the time. Things were going wrong. Well, he built up the line for me, and I always remembered when he came into the store, because he used to sell them out of our store on the weekends, he'd always say, I like them all, but boy, these Jackson guys. So that helped me a whole lot. Well, then I went to Oklahoma for the big, they have a big show down there, kayak show down there. And I got in every kayak. I got in 8 or 9 or 10 of them, and I just liked the way the Jackson handled on the river. It was a river in Oklahoma City. What river is that, Mark? Do you know? And goes to Oklahoma.
Let's call it the Red River. I don't know, but let's say I like that name.
I like Red River. It goes
red
all the way to Texas. Anyway, I didn't go to
everything
Texas.
Everything in Oklahoma's red.
Yeah,
anyway.
There you go.
Red dirt. Let's call it the Red River.
But it runs right through downtown Oklahoma City, and they got this whitewater park they built. By the way, that's incredible. Unbelievable. One of the largest whitewater parks in the United States.
Oh, how fun.
And right there in downtown Oklahoma.
Oh, cool.
That's incredible. Oh, yeah, you go down online and check it out. So, Jackson, to get back to you, they were doing everything progressive that I wanted, which was fishing. So they were taking the lead in fishing while everybody else was just selling these $300 kayaks that you know, tear up, the kids tear up.
So what do fishing kayaks have on them that regular kayaks don't?
Well, basically it's the width and the stability, but they start building in they have a lot of track systems all the way around them called gear tracks. So they build all these gear tracks in to where they're not putting them on top of a kayak. They're embedding them in the kayaks.
Oh, really? That gives it more stability then, doesn't it?
Well, first of all, it puts more lines into the kayak, if you think about it, so it makes it sturdier.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you don't trip over it, and everything's kind of recessed into the kayaks. So you can put fishing rod holders on them. You can put everything's designed for them. Fish finder holders on them. Cup holders, which are kind of important. You got a
cooler
cup.
Can you get a cooler?
Yep, they're all built in. Yeah, they build them in, and you can strap them down. And the difference is if you're not familiar with them, is there's sit-in kayaks. Those are for whitewater people, basically. Sit in, and they fill up with water, and, you know, they go, you know, you sit in them, and they're sit-on, and that's, of course, what a fisherman wants. He wants to be elevated up And they got comfortable chairs, web chairs on them, and
really?
Adjustable web chairs and everything.
Oh, well, I like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I mean, I'm just blown away and how it's taken off. I mean, I think the Nationals paid $100,000 to win.
Oh, my gosh.
In the Bass Tournament.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, our little tournament we did 2 weeks ago, was it? Yeah,
it was last weekend.
Just
last week.
Yeah, just last weekend. So I was a little disappointed. We thought we were going to have a lot more, but the weather was iffy going into it.
Terrible. And
yeah, it was good the day of. We had a perfect day, but going into it, everybody was looking at it. But we did have 26 guys show up, and out of 26, 9 of them had a limit, what they call a limit. What they call limit is the same as a bass. It's your top 5 fish.
And they get back into, like we were talking earlier, get back into places where nobody else has fished, and they're going to catch that fish out of there.
What do you do with the fish? I mean, does it have a live well? Or, I mean, a kayak could have a live
so
well, could it?
Here's what's great about it. Here's what you're going to love, Mark. Here's what everybody's going to love. When you come in, we stamp your hand. So we put a stamp on your hand so you know you're in our tournament. And every fish you catch, you have to have a certain board to put them on. Not just you have to have a certain board, and I'm sorry, I forget the name of the board. You lay your fish down. Your hand has to be in there, showing that it's at day, and you take a picture with your phone.
Good idea.
And so we're doing it all by length, no weight. So it's all by length. So you take
smart
a picture,
move.
And then, of course, your phone has time stamped, so we know there was no way to beat this system, because between your hand showing that you're in our tournament. And the timestamp on the phone, we got it. So it's a top 5 fish. So the guy that won it, 92 inches. So if you figure that out, that's, 18 and a half inches, I think I figured.
On average.
Average.
Not bad.
Not bad. Ladies and gentlemen, just happened to be joining us. That voice you hear is Joe Falco. We're talking about Jackson Kayak. We got to take a little bit of a break. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our sponsor. The Reed Chevrolet family.
The best place in the entire galaxy.
They're great people, aren't they?
And we say this every week, but it's, you know, non-commissioned salesmen. And you just can't this is just the best way to buy a vehicle that there is. There is no pressure on the salesman, and they don't put any pressure on you. And it's so refreshing.
Care less.
Such a great way.
They've never sold a pickup. They would help you buy one.
Right. Yeah,
and that sounds like a line, but that's just the way they go about their business up there. They were really getting low on inventory, but last week they unloaded an awful lot of brand new Silverados, and so we got a brown one, Mark. I think I'd like to own it. Would you co-sign with me?
You don't need a co-signer.
You don't?
No.
Joe? Oh, you don't understand. Man, it's so pretty. Have these Silverado pickups, guys. I'm going to tell you what now. They steal my heart.
Oh, my son has one. From Reed Chevrolet. And it is just absolutely gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
And all of the stuff on the inside, it's something to have. I need one, and I've just been putting it off. I'm going to do that this year.
You know what is weird about this is you get up there, and you got that little board up there, and there's people come from Des Moines, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, Peculiar, Missouri, which was, we were talking about Peculiar, Columbia, Missouri, why would you drive that far? How many dealerships would you drive by to come to Reed?
Well, price, obviously. I mean, that's number one. You are going to save money there.
Yeah,
but the experience
selection.
And the whole experience. I mean, when you get up there, you will feel like you're part of the family. It's so unlike so many of these dealerships. I'm telling you, a lot of these places I've bought vehicles from, I just don't appreciate the pressure that they put on you. And it's not like that up there.
And they've got the Car City Chrysler used to be, and it's the Dodge dealerships. Reed's on it on the South Belt at St. Joseph, Missouri. So they just got it going on. They're good people. Go by and say hello to Trevin and all the guys up there. You're going to really love them. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you.
Everybody get up.
Here we go. Everybody get up.
Is this the song you wanted?
This is it. Everybody get up. Listen to it. I don't know what they're talking about as far as getting up, but maybe as in wake up.
That's what we'll go with.
Wake up.
Yep.
You've not seen this video?
No, I haven't, but I've heard the song.
It's unbelievable. It's orgasmic.
And you're an old country boy.
Yeah, and I play this coming down I-29. It's what motivates me in the morning.
Now, why they closed the highway?
Yeah.
We got a fishing report.
We are trying to get Richard Bowling on the phone. He says he is in a metal building. So,
in a metal building.
Yes.
I got a fishing report from Richard. I had a customer come in last week. I don't remember if it's kayak or Lund boats, but it doesn't matter. Had a customer come in last week, said they went down fishing with him, and I said, how was your day? He says, miserable. I said, what happened? I said, Richard's always on fish. He said, well, we were done at 8:30. I didn't know what to do with the rest of the day. Yeah.
He does. He's a great guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, none better.
I mean, there is none, no better. So nice guy.
I hear it's on fire down there, but I hear you better know what you're doing.
Well, and I've heard a mixed bag of reports, and this water's coming up so fast now. Mm-hmm. I mean, just over a week ago, the lake was only 3 feet high. And, you know, within a week, almost maybe 8 days, it's come up to 20 foot high.
Ooh.
So that's got to change. That's why I wanted to talk to Richard and see what's going on.
Has this run to spawn?
I don't think it will, but we'll
see.
Is Richard
on there? All right, here we go.
Richard Bowling, our favorite guide on Truman Lake. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, getting wet.
Is it raining there?
It's raining pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Again, we don't need that. Well, Truman is, 18 feet high right now?
Yep, between 18 and 19 foot high.
Well, whoa. How is that affecting the fishing?
It's affecting the boats more than the fishing. It's, you know, trying to find a place to put in the problem now. There's about 2 or 3 high water ramps here on the lake, but, you know, these fish are coming on the back end of their spawn right now. So as soon as we can get back on the water, which I'm going to try a couple of these ramps in a minute, these fish should be out in the mouth of these creeks on cedar trees and hedge trees, kind of their post-spawn type fishing.
Already? Well, I guess it's not already. I know some fish have spawned, some have not. How are you going to stay off the main lake and just fish up in the creeks? How deep of water are you going to look for these fish right now?
Today I'm going to be in 8 foot of water, plumb out to 30 feet. Yeah. They should be suspended out there in the bushes and stuff. And I'm going to say that these willow trees and buckbrush will have fish in them too. So there's a lot of patterns of fish right now. But what I'm going to do is mostly dip in the day, and they'll really go to these willows after they get done spawning. A lot of these willows will have 8-10 foot of water on them. They really like to get in them bushes. So they all jig fishing, straight up vertical fishing, and probably running around a lot.
Do you think that this high water is going to affect the spawn?
No, I think it's going to be a very good spawn. First of all, there's not many fish being taken out of the lake. Second of all, when they do dump their eggs and hatch out, which don't take long, they will be in this buckbrush. Nothing's going to be chasing down and eating all the fry like it would be if it's normal bank.
Makes sense. Cool.
I think we're going to have a banner spawn this year.
So this high water is not necessarily all a bad thing.
The high water sometimes is a good thing. Like I say, it keeps the boats off the water, but Truman Lake is so full of crappie. Even if it was a bad spawn this year, it wouldn't hurt nothing. But the lake is absolutely going to be loaded with keeper fish in 3 years. Well, that's how long it takes for these fish to become a keeper.
How many years did you say? Three years to become a keeper?
3 years, yep. They get about 3 inches a year for the first 3 years.
Hmm. Wow. Sounds good. And anything going on with the catfishing right now that you've heard of?
They were catching in the back of these creeks where this water was really running in at. And I think the creek's about, you know, the flow was shut down. So I'm going to say you can still get in the back of these creeks or on these big flooded fields where it's full of grass and stuff and anchor your boat where you float them night crawlers and grub worms and stuff out of the ground and catch them. The key is catching the bait. The bait, when I left town, was all in the dead center of these creeks, about 10 foot down, which can be caught in a throw net. But, you know, you got to have fresh cut bait whenever you're chasing them blue cats. And I'd say just get on them big farm fields that's flooded, which a lot of them got 8, 10, 12 foot of water on them. Tie up or anchor that boat and just fan cast in pose with good fresh bait. Now, I'm going to say you catch a load of them.
Yeah, you know, normally you get water coming in like that.
Yeah.
Brings in fresh food.
Yeah.
And those channel cat and the catfish, they know that, and they get the feed bag on. Anything.
Yeah, usually, go ahead.
No, go on. You go right ahead.
I was going to say, usually when you tie up at a spot and you're in a mess of them blue cat, and like you say, there'll be channel cat with them too eating. You can set one spot and catch a big mess of fish. You don't have to hunt and peck. Get one here and two there. You get a whole load in one spot.
Wow, that sounds good. What about below the dam? Anything going on down there?
No, they're catching the waylay out of catfish. They got a little bit of current down there. Not a lot of current, but they're catching a lot of blue cats down there. Same thing anchor fishing. They're still catching a lot of crappie down there. So the bite down there is still really good. And, of course, the flood water don't affect them like what it does here on Truman Lake.
Any reports on hybrids or white bass?
I have not heard nothing on either one. Like I say, I've been gone. I haven't got to go down there and chase them or catch them. We've catched them good before the week, you know, before I left down. So I'm going to say you can still catch them down there, especially if they get that water running.
Well, Richard, I just wanted to have you on. I was just curious to see how all this high water was going to affect the spawn, number one, and how the fishing is as a result. And so I appreciate you giving us some information this morning. If somebody would like to go fishing with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Just give me a call at 660-351-5361, and I'll do all I can to get you in the boat.
Or check you out on Facebook?
Yep, go to Richard Bowling's Guide Service page and just hit the like button on that, and all you're going to see is daily fishing pictures, maybe some of my turkey pictures, and that'll be all that's on there is fishing and hunting.
Well, I call you every Friday, and it's usually in the evening, and I'm always interrupting your dinner, and you're just always so kind to take time to give me a report. I really do appreciate it, Richard. And go out there and catch some more fish.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Bye. Take care, Richard.
What a nice guy.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Great guy.
If you want to catch some fish on Truman, he's the guy to talk to.
He's your man, ain't he? Yeah. In the deal, so.
He's serious fisherman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't talk a lot. But.
Yeah, what the hey? He's intense, as
yeah,
I
right.
say.
Yeah.
Kind of like Joe.
Yeah, Joe's intense.
Tense? Joe's
I never talk.
You're not. You don't talk?
No, I don't talk. Don't talk about boats. Don't talk about kayaks. Don't talk about anything.
Now, we started off being real. We were trying to... $799 kayak.
Right, the Bite.
That's the basic one.
Yeah, it'll fish any... When we were talking earlier about fishing ponds and stuff like that, Mark, when you get into the bigger kayaks, it gets a little difficult. They get a little bit heavy because of all the equipment. You asked about the equipment.
Yeah, some of the... Yeah.
So... Right now in the industry, and some guys are, it's like everything, some guys are fighting and want to stay traditional, which is basically just paddle around,
sure,
and that's all they do. Well, they've already knocked that out and said, no, that's great, but we really want to catch fish too here. So they went with what's called the pedal kayaks, okay, where you can actually pedal them like a bicycle. And, of course, they refine these all the time. They're up to now where you can pedal them. And I think you go up to almost 5 miles an hour now just pedaling them.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Okay, and I got another story about that if I have time here in a minute. So anyway, they've got them now where you pedal them, and they said, well, we got to allow those because if you think about it, you can get on a fish, you can pedal it forward and back, and you're using your legs and holding yourself in position to fight the fish so you don't lose as many fish.
Cool.
Whereas, you know, sure, the other way, you're just the fish is controlling the kayak, which is fun in itself if you've got a big one on. Especially if you land a big old catfish or something like that. So anyway, they came out with the pedal ones. Well, that wasn't good enough. And then as it got bigger, as the stakes got bigger, and like I told you, $100,000 wins, they started coming out with electric. So now that means either a trolling motor or these incredible motors, unbelievable, made by the Germans. There you go. Mm-hmm. Called a torpedo. And a torpedo will run these things about 6 to 7 miles an hour.
Oh.
And they're remote. They have the control right there at your hands for the forward and reverse. And then you have your rudder with your feet to steer them. So they have these. Now they're allowing electric. And you can put a trolling motor on the front. So you have all this. Well, Jackson, again, being a leader, they designed in the back of theirs. I think they were the first. It doesn't matter. But so they designed them to where they can just bolt the power poles right into them, the micro poles. So now they've custom designed trolling motors. They've custom designed the micro poles that are so popular on bass.
Right.
Of course, the fish finders are basically the same. We just had to figure out ways to rig them up to get the transducers. So think about this, Mark. You're a fisherman. The transducer mount is anywhere on the track you want it. You can put the transducer right under your bottom.
Really?
Yep.
And it'll read just right through the,
so
the
hole. Well, no. You hang them off to the side. They have arms. So you can put them anywhere on the kayak you want. So instead of being 3 feet off or up on your trolling motor, you could have that. You got that thing right below you. You can put it wherever you want because they're all adjustable. Same thing with the fish finder. You know, when they're bolted onto a boat, If the sun's wrong or if you're fishing a different bank or something, you're there. All you have to do on the other is just quick release, take it off of one side, move it over to the track on the other side.
Oh, well, how cool.
20 seconds.
What the heck?
20 seconds. And, of course, you have to have batteries and all that. So you get them up, and then, you know, if you get them to a certain point, I mean, the best rig in the world to me is to go ahead and buy the best. You know, it always is, but And they can be pricey.
Buy the best and only cry once.
Yeah, there you go. Cry once. And you know, heck, put it on a credit card. Do whatever you got to do. Finance them. They're enough. But is to put it on a trailer. Then you're like loading a boat, and you are in and out in
seconds. No time.
A minute, 2 minutes. I mean, you're in and out because everything's right there in your kayak on a little trailer and going in and out. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but our average price on the best we sell, you're sitting down, right? $5,000.
Well, that's.
But if you think about a boat,
for
that's nothing.
No,
that's nothing.
Not at
it's
all.
It's nothing, and that's with a trailer.
$100,000 Ranger.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And the, and you know what? The fishing experience will be incredible. I'm just blown away. So before we run out of town, if you're excited about it, if you want to see anything on June the 15th at Lake Jacomo, nice close lake. Okay, Lake Jacomo. No big speedboats running over you there.
No.
Right? Can't have any big boats on Jacomo. We're going to have a demo day so you can drive any of these and a fishing tournament that'll be exciting from 2 to dusk.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
2 to dusk. Huh?
2 to dusk.
Cool. Is this just bass fishing exclusively?
Yeah, just right now it is, but obviously we want to get into the crappie. I think that would be fun, but that'll be a little bit more difficult, I think, on crappie. You tell me, Mark, because would the measurement really matter? No, it's about the same, I guess. It's no different, right?
No.
I suppose.
Yeah, just a measurement would be fine.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that idea. Yeah. That's great.
Is this the fastest growing segment there is right now?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's exceeding bass boats by 10 to 1.
Wow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my nephew has a kayak, and it wasn't a Jackson. But he was able to do things with that we couldn't do in a boat. And in particular, right after the crappie spawn, and the white bass have spawned, they will move, you know, crappie are an open water fish, and they'll back off into open water. And he would take his kayak, and he could pedal that or row that at the right speed. He would troll the crankbait, and he annihilated crappie and white bass. And there was two guys at a bass boat that had passed him. They kind of, you know, you could tell they were kind of chuckling at him. Yeah. And they came back maybe an hour later, and he had a stringer floating behind him full of crappie and white bass. And they were going by, and they saw that stringer, and they all of a sudden stopped and did a U-turn and came back. And they looked at him and said, what are you doing? How did you catch those fish? They hadn't got a bite that day.
Yeah.
And he wound up with a limit of crappie and a limit of white bass. And he wouldn't have had it if it wasn't for that kayak.
No. And I tell you, the other thing is he didn't spend any of his time trying to get the weeds out of his trolling motor either.
Yeah, right.
And banging the thing down and banging. I mean, how noisy is a boat?
Yeah, exactly.
How noisy is a boat?
Well, and the other thing. And
in shallows.
These city and county lakes. You know, one of the things I love best are bluegill and the big hybrid bluegill. There's not a better eating fish, in my opinion, bar none. And a lot of these, it's just hard to find big enough to keep on our area lakes, the bigger reservoirs. But you get into these little city and county lakes, and there's tons of them around Kansas and Missouri.
Exactly.
And you get a kayak on there, and then you've got a whole new world opened up to you.
What was that lake going out towards St. Joe?
Guy Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too good to be true. Nobody's there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, all three of my listeners have showed up, but that's about it. But I'm telling you, that is the coolest little lake, and you get out of the wind.
And the bluegill are huge.
It's unbelievable. And then the bass in that thing are huge.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And then over by Cameron, there's a couple little city reservoirs over there. And I was talking to a fisheries biologist. He was amazed at the growth rate. They put the hybrids in there, Mark.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they are in there by the cordwood, you know, and in Hamilton City Reservoir. They put stock that many, many years ago. Kind of a sneaky little deal over there. Nobody's there either, you know, if you want to get away from it. There's a bunch of fish.
Are some of those no wake lakes?
Yes.
There you go, guys. Yeah. No wake lake.
Exactly.
$15,000 motor. Idling around, or a $3,000 kayak.
Let's go back to my duckaholic buddy. You got this in a camouflage model.
Absolutely.
And this guy had decoys and a dog.
Really?
We have a unit. We have a unit that holds all the decoys and everything.
And he had electronic, and here he came out of the Thule's, and I sat there and I thought, gee whiz, and it seemed like he was going more than 6 miles an hour coming out, and he was fighting into the wind.
Right.
And a big old boy, and got out of there, and he had a limit of ducks because he could hide that thing so easily. That's another thing that is probably just getting started.
You know, and it's so much more comfortable, Fred. You and I used to use is the one out of Odessa. What's it? The boat, the Four Rivers layout boat. Yeah. So much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
Well, yeah, that was the thing I noticed about this guy. He was so laid back and comfortable.
Hmm.
I mean, it was like he was in his recliner at home, you know, out there fishing on the deal. So he was just having a ball, you know. Just it was that future of that business. You're in the right business, man. This is going to be cool.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. But now we can try it before you buy it.
Try it before you buy it.
Well, and that's all the time.
All the time.
That's,
just call me.
You can't beat that right there. But then demo days, Jay Como Lake, June 15th.
Go on Sportsman's Out. Ooh, I hope we have it linked up. We will by the weekend if I forgot to link it up.
Lengths of these. What standard? How long are they?
12 to 14 feet.
12 to 14.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
12 or 14.
In the fishing.
And let's tell it like the other way. A little bit of wind factor does have a problem of these, doesn't it?
Not really. Not as bad as a boat.
Okay.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So you can hold yourself and turn it into the wind.
Yep.
Basically is what you do.
Right.
The deal.
I want the one with the trolling motor on it.
Wow.
And spot lock, Mark. Trolling motor and spot lock. No anchor needed.
What's spot lock?
On your trolling motor where you push the button and it holds you in your
position.
You
can get that in a kayak too?
Yeah, on a trolling motor.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
So you guys want to buy all these anchor mates and others? It's like, that's crazy. Spot lock. Once the wind blows, it's going to hold you in a spot.
You can't beat that.
No.
Can't beat it, can you?
Yeah. It gets pretty fun.
Yeah.
Joe Falco, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. Go out there and check them out. And we didn't even get to talk about the boats that you have out there. We're almost out of time already, darn it.
Yeah. Well, I got Lund boats. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Or pontoons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
That'll be my next boat is a pontoon.
You co-sign with me on a pontoon?
Yeah,
too?
Let's go together.
Okay.
Yep.
Are we out of time? I just love doing this radio show. We have 1 minute left. What else do we want to babble about for 1 minute?
We don't have enough time to babble that much.
The boys are down to the state shoot. Kelly and all the guys are down there. I suppose that Western Missouri will win again on the deal. So that's down at Lynn Creek. That's going on this week. I don't know. I'm going to go back and fight the flood. Some more rivers dropping. I'm giddy. Maybe sometime in July I'll plant corn.
I got to try to get some more grass mowed. It's growing.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Everything's wet, not drying out.
Yeah, I'm going to stop at Guy Park on the way back. I got my rod in.
Sweet.
So, see ya. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see ya, I hope we see you in a great outdoor.
Thanks for being here, Joe. Have a good week, everybody.